The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour of the program is live. We spent a lot of the first hour talking about Tennessee announcing today that it had hired a new athletic director replacing Philip Fulmer. He is Danny White of UCF. Last night, perhaps the least surprising news of 2021 came out that Larry Scott was stepping down being a charitable word, as the Pac-12 commissioner. Nobody better to talk to than John Wilner, who covers that league expertly out there on the West Coast. John, great to have you with us. And here we go, beginning the new year, and things are upside down in the Pac-12. What else is new? Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Yeah, there is never a shortage of off-the-field developments, that's for sure. On the field, it's kind of been the same story for many years now, but it's pretty interesting conference off the field.
I remember distinctly, it seemed like yesterday, although it was many years ago, when Larry was brought in. He was brought in from professional tennis. Everybody raved about him. He did things different. He had media days in New York. He schmoozed Southern writers at national championship games. And how did all that work out?
Yeah. You know, I would contend that he was the right hire for the Pac-12 back then, 2009, 2010. And was able to execute on a lot of the high priorities. But I'd also argue that he is not the right commissioner for the Pac-12 right now. And the last couple of years have seen a series of missteps that have hurt the conference, hurt the brand, hurt the football product specifically, and just kind of pulled everything into this, sinkhole.
So who will help the Pac-12 get out of the sinkhole? Talk about some of the candidates that, I've seen at least 25 names mentioned. Who is realistic to get this job?
It's a great question. I think the problem is it's hard to know exactly what the Pac-12 presidents are going to do, because they've got these gigantic media rights negotiations coming up here in a couple of years. And so there is some thought that they hire someone from the sports media industry, a TV executive, basically, to kind of head the process at the negotiating table. But then there's a school of thought that, they had brought Larry Scott in from the pro sports world. He didn't have any experience in college athletics, and there were problems because of that. So they should take a more traditional approach and hire, a sitting athletic director, particularly maybe one that's got, the football powerhouse. So until you know kind of which direction the presidents want to go, it's hard to really pinpoint candidates. But certainly, if they go a traditional route, you can figure on some of the top name ADs being contacted, I would think.
And I don't want to go through every name, because I think sometimes maybe I'm dubious of reporters pushing people, but I've been in those shoes before, as you have. But let's talk about a realistic group of people that could figure into this job.
Well, realistic group, I would just from your territory, I would think Greg Byrne, if they decided that they wanted to go a more traditional route, I would think that there would be some conversations, and they're going to hire a search firm to do the legwork. I would certainly think that there would be some outreach to Greg Byrne. He has ties to four different Pac-12 schools. He worked at Oregon and Oregon State when he was young. He went to Arizona State. He was the AD at Arizona. Obviously, the guy knows college football, which is a big issue for the Pac-12, right? The football product's got to get improved. So, I could see a scenario in which they at least had a conversation with Byrne. Maybe even the same thing with Gene Smith. He was the athletic director at Arizona State before he moved to Columbus. I wonder if Bob Bowlesby, who was, you know, was at Stanford before he became the Big 12 commissioner, you know, I think that the Pac-12 probably would be smart to at least make a phone call and see if Bowlesby was tired of dealing with Texas and ready to maybe move back to the West Coast. So, that, you know, those are a few names. But I do think that if they go the traditional route, they're going to want to have somebody who has been on a Pac-12 campus. They don't want to bring in somebody who doesn't understand, you know, the culture out here. I think that that's going to be important for them is somebody who at least has some ties to the West.
And I don't want to act naive here because it's easy to make fun of the Pac-12, although the universities, most of them are very, very, very rich academic institutions. When you talk about the culture of the Pac-12, is that the culture of the campuses from a presidential standpoint? Is that tradition? What are we talking about here?
I mean, I think some of it is the fact that the fans are not as rabid as they are in the Big 12, SEC, and Big 10. And so if you're used to, you know, 100,000 people and you're used to a wait list for season tickets, and then you're going to come out here and, you know, the stadium is two-thirds full, it can be a little bit different. I think that for some sports at some campuses, there's not necessarily as much fervor or passion to win, maybe as there are at other places. So fan affinity, kind of the campus yin-yang between athletics and academics, right? I mean, certainly the four California schools are all, you know, top 25 nationally in academics, and that certainly plays a role in how the athletic departments are operated. So, and, you know, just the more laid back nature, the impact of technology and innovation on the area, especially in California, I think all of that is, you know, could be a little bit of a jolt if you haven't experienced it before.
If I could move from that subject to look ahead as one football season ends and look toward a new one, I know we seem to have the usual suspects coming out of the Pac-12. This year may not be the best model, but looking ahead, and I realize it's a long way off. We just ended the football season last week. What does it look like in the Pac-12 next season?
I think it looks like it has the last few years. I think the conference will have three or four good teams. I don't think the conference is going to have a team that is able to stay in the playoff hunt until the last weekend and, you know, be in that top six discussion, top five discussion. I just don't see, partly because of the talent on the rosters, but also partly because of the scheduling, right? You know, UCLA is opening with LSU. Oregon's got to go to Columbus. Washington's going to Ann Arbor. Colorado's playing A&M, right? So you throw in those kind of – and then you got two Notre Dame games. Throw in those plus nine conference games, and it is hard for the Pac-12 to produce a zero or one-loss team that's going to be in the discussion at the very end. So I think we'll see three, four, five teams in the top 25 by the end of the season and probably none in the top six or eight.
John, before you go, one throwaway question going way, way back in time. And we were talking about Larry Scott. And I just wonder, he nearly pulled off one of the all-time coups. And what I mean by that is he tried to make the Pac-12 into a super conference. Go back to that moment. How close did he come?
I think they were really close to getting Texas. And Texas, you know, would have brought six teams with them. Colorado was going to come no matter what. They had like three or four different models for expansion. Colorado was in all of them. But Texas was the key to getting Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. And so I think that they were very close. You'd have to probably ask, you know, DeLoss Dodds, you know, if he was ever ready to say yes, or was Bill Powers Bill Powers might have been the president.
Yeah, he was there
at the time. Yeah, I mean, those guys would know how close they were, but it certainly seemed like they were very close. And it was an incredibly bold stroke But it was also interesting because Larry Scott was not from college athletics. So he didn't probably feel the same sense of tradition and was more willing to change the dynamic, so to speak, to you know, incite a revolution in some ways. I don't think we'll see that again in this next round of TDP negotiations.
It was an amazing time. It changed a lot of things in college athletics, including helping to expedite Texas A&M to the SEC. John, always great to catch up with you. Maybe one time we'll be talking about some really good news for the Pac-12 that doesn't involve a firing or a shutdown.
Well, there's a lot of fans that would say a lot of fans would say the change. Excuse me, the change is good news.
Well, we second that motion. Hey, John, come back soon. Thank you for your time. It's great
Thanks,
to talk
Paul.
To you. You got it. One of the best out there, John Wilner, on the exit of Larry Scott. It's been predicted for about 3 years. We will take a break. More to come. And when we flip around on the other side of this break, we will talk to someone who used to be a familiar figure in the Southeastern Conference. You youngsters may not remember, but our next guest was once the coach, the head coach at Auburn University.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. I can't wait to talk to our next guest. I have known him a long time from his days as the head football coach at Samford University in Birmingham, where he took a transfer with him from Salem and made him one of the great young quarterbacks in that division. He turned out to be Jimbo Fisher, who is now, of course, one of the best coaches in the country. Terry Bowden won his first 20 games at Auburn University. He had a perfect season his first year, winning National Coach of the Year Award. And he was introduced earlier this week at Monroe, where he has already hired a pretty impressive staff, including Rich Rodriguez. Coach, it has been way too long. Great to have you. How are you doing?
Paul, I'm doing fine, and I've watched and admired the job you have done from those days. You just caused havoc over down there in Birmingham with all of it. You seem to be doing a pretty good job of doing that all over the country. I enjoy watching it.
I was sitting there thinking about you today, and I don't know why I'd forgotten some of the coaches that you helped get started, but I would imagine watching Jimbo Fisher go from, and you once said he was one of the better quarterbacks you had ever had. Is that right?
I think he was the best. I mean, if you're talking about who is the best college quarterback, how many? You're 5'9". Well, Jimbo probably says he's 5'9". You're 5'8", maybe. I'm 5'6". He's taller than me. No, Jimbo was the best quarterback I've ever had. From pure coaching, quarterbacking, leading a team, being a quarterback, and I've had some really good ones, Stan White, Damian Craig. They were outstanding, too. They may not have been tall enough to be NFL first-round picks, but when it comes to being a college quarterback, that's not the same thing as being the best NFL prospect. Jimbo was a leader. He was a fighter. The player, the linebackers and the offensive linemen like to hang around with him. That's the kind of guy he is.
Well, I am really happy. I was talking to Tim Brando the other day. He called me and he said, I'm on the way to introduce Terry Bowden. And I said, well, this well, first of all, I mean, two guys who like to talk. Did you ever get a chance to talk at your own press conference?
Jimmy's one of my best buddies, and my father. He first interviewed my father in '79 when we went undefeated that year at Florida State. Tommy and I were grad assistants, and Jeff was a walk-on. We were all down in Tallahassee, and Tim was a Cub reporter, I think, for someone. And he's been close to me. You know, he imitates my dad probably better than anybody. And so they've always been close. He really enjoyed it. My father came out at '91 to the press conference. I've known him for a long time. I did radio 3 years in a row, 3 hours a day with Timmy B. Timmy's my best buddy, but he could take us into a segment and out of a segment without stopping, so I've been with him many times.
How is your dad doing?
You know, Dad's doing great, Paul, and that's we're very fortunate. In September, when I was in Atlanta getting ready for the Georgia Tech game, I got a call from my brother Jeff. The dad had just got out of the hospital with the COVID, and he has, of course, pre-existing illnesses from type 2 diabetes to a little blood leukemia type that he's always had. And he wasn't doing well, but he wanted to go home. He had been there over 2 weeks, and so he came home. Jeff did not think he looked well. He couldn't eat. He couldn't respond. I got into a town car and had somebody drive me all the way to Tallahassee. All my family showed up. He wasn't doing well, and he was lost so much weight he wasn't eating. You go into an ICU unit and your wife's not allowed to be there and your kids aren't allowed to be there. You realize that what must go through your mind when you're 91 years old and you never see anybody. So he came home, but he wasn't doing well. But, you know, he started eating a little bit. When he came home, he said, I got to eat Mike. He asked for a peanut butter banana sandwich. So I knew he was getting healthy. And so he finally got his weight back, his strength back. And today he looks just like he did before he got sick. Him and my mother doing fine. They flew over here and sat in our press conference Monday at 91 and 88, and they're doing fine. And this is the only game in town. There's only one bout still going. It's the ULM.
There have been a few. Well, Coach, I'm. It's such an obvious question. You're still a young man, but explain why this job? Why now?
You know, I love being here. But somehow along the line, whether it was at Salem or Samford or even the way Auburn had played coming into my time or Akron, I've become kind of a turnaround coach. I have a coach that over the years I've wanted to move up. And I've taken over programs that weren't very good, and I've wanted to move up. And I probably wanted to follow football like my father too much, and then I wanted to take over small college programs and work my way up to the big time. And once I got there, I put pecan trees in my backyard, and I chose to stay there like forever. And probably turned down a few that might have gotten. And that's what I always have done. Now, what's different was I took that 10-year hiatus to ABC television. I got to go from Auburn to the studios in Times Square with John Saunders. And you know how difficult it is to get in this business. That wasn't a bad little deal. You know, that gig was pretty good, and I almost never left it. But at this point in my life, I'm 64 years old. And I left Akron with a new boss and that wanted to go a different direction. But like a lot of coaches, I had a guarantee for a couple of years, had some cash. I said, I'm going to go to a major, major program, and I'm going to study coaching again. I'm going to study these guys. My intent was to maybe get another mid-major, a job that needed a coach to turn them around. And so I went there with that intention. And there's only 127, about 10 of them opened up this year, and a 64-year-old man got one of them. I mean, does that make sense to me?
When you were at Clemson, what was that like, learning and sitting back as almost a student again, even though Dabo Sweeney, I think, was barely walking, was barely in high school. He was at Alabama by the time you got to Auburn.
Paul, now when I got here, and I'm sitting in the very back of the room, and again, I wasn't acting like a student. I had to go to grad school to become an analyst. They had no positions. I had to be a student. So I shocked Dabo, and I said, Coach, I'll go to school. So after 34 years from graduating from law school at Florida State, I got my master's at Clemson. And right now at ULM, I'm still taking my final 6 hours online to have a Clemson. That's the true story. I'm finished up with a degree. But that's the only way I could get there, as to be an analyst, because they had filled up their positions, and I couldn't be a free because you can't work their computers or get their keys without being somehow tied. But that being said, Paul, you were there probably my first time I ever coached against Alabama on the Plains, and we had that 11-0 season. I'm coaching and calling plays on the sidelines, and there on the field is Lemanski Hall and Mickey Kahn, and on the sideline was Danny Pierman coaching tight ends, Woody McCorvey coaching wide receivers, and a young graduate assistant named Dabo Sweeney, and all those people were going against me. And you know, when you call plays and you run an offense and you win the Iron Bowl against Alabama, you get some street cred. And I think I always had a little bit of street cred with those guys. And I think when I got to Clemson, the biggest thing that I had was respect. 5 years I coached the Iron Bowl, but 3 times we won it. Coach Stallings and I coached the final 4 years in Birmingham when it really was the Iron Bowl. I don't have any losing records against any team in the SEC West, and that's a pretty good league. And so there's some street credibility there, but I went there to learn. I wanted to see what Dabo, Coach Sweeney, I have a hard time calling him Dabo, Coach Sweeney was doing over there. And the more I was there, I saw how many things he could do at one time, how sharp he really is. He's kind of like that Opie look, a Southerner, but he controls everything. And I don't know. And they do everything that whatever Alabama does, they know because that's where they came from. And they understood what Alabama has done in their commitment. And they've made the commitment to do as much or more in everything they can do. And by doing that, he took them after Tommy left and he took over from Tommy's staff. He's created an entire different environment there, a culture there. The facilities are second to none. The culture, the winning record is second to none. And I hired a bunch of young guys because I wanted guys. I think people have done this to Alabama over the years. They get people there because they're winners. They know how to win. They know about winning. And Bear Bryant, what he said, I ain't nothing but a winner. And I think with Dabo Sweeney and all those young guys I brought over, I wanted a bunch of guys that weren't nothing but winners. And that's important because when you have a culture of losing or you don't know how to win, it's hard to get that off of your mind.
Talking to Coach Terry Bowden, and Coach, I'm just wondering, as you reflect back, and I know you're trying to look forward, mm-hmm. but here you are, you're the son of one of the iconic coaches in college football history. You established your own identity, and there was a time in 1993, 94, you were literally considered the best coach in the SEC, the hottest coach in the country. You accomplished a great deal. I was about to say it ended badly at Auburn, but that would be every coach ends badly at Auburn. And then you had the run. I mean, you've had an amazing career. I know I'm asking you to analyze your own odyssey, but it's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, Auburn didn't have a bad ending. It had an unusual ending. It would be considered a bad ending because it didn't end good, you know. But I got from Auburn, I got hired by ABC back when that was the year Disney bought ABC and ESPN. And it was still BCS, big time games on ABC and everything else on ESPN. And I was the studio host in the biggest studio show in the country at ABC in New York. I mean, Herbie and of course, and those guys had everything before noon. We got everything afternoon. And so it was quite a move up. And far as doing something in football, being a spokesman for football, but was that difficult at Auburn? Yeah, it was. There were a lot of things that, you know, I had great times there in reflection. I can look back and see what a wonderful time it was, but there were some difficult times there any time that you come in a situation. And you're young, and I probably didn't handle them all perfectly. You got to be pretty much of a veteran. You don't sit around the Bobby Bowden table and learn how to handle everything at Auburn. I promise you. Life kind of threw me some curveballs, but I probably swung at some wild pitches too when you think about it. But it was a great time. I look back on that with fond memories. And you know what? In looking back, I'm now coaching my 26th year as a head coach. And most people that leave Auburn don't ever coach again. Now, Tommy Tuberville, they got a few years in, but I feel blessed that I'm still coaching and I'm still relevant to the 100 or so guys here. I'm not relevant as far as who are the top guys, who are the top salaries. I was never ever going to be close to being the best coach in my own family. So somewhere along the line, that teaches humility. It teaches you that you have a role to play, and your old man won't retire till he's 80. He don't leave a lot of records for you to go after. And so there never was any. There was none that I had left. And yet we thought that with Bear Bryant, nobody could take his record away of 6 national championships, but that's happened. But anyway, I'm blessed. I've got the same number of players that kneel in front of me that Nick Saban does. And that the Dabo Sweeney does. And you know what's funny? Tommy and I grew up in Morgantown, and that's where we grew up and coached football and learned how to coach. 20 minutes away, Rick Rodriguez grew up. 30 minutes away, Jimbo Fisher grew up. And 20 minutes away, Nick Saban grew up. It's an incredible place of grinders, blue-collar background, coal miner fathers. There's something about them there hills that make you tough and make you overcome and make you handle tough situations that, boy, it gets you. You may not always have the right answers, but tough, hard work will get you through till you find the right answers.
Nick Saban is 6 years older than you, and he's asked every press conference at the end of the season, how much longer are you going to coach? is that even something at this point, now that you're starting, that you really even think about? Yeah. Because you seem like you're in better shape than I've seen you in a long time.
Yeah, you know how heavy I got at times, but I'm probably in my best condition. Because, be honest with you, when I went to Clemson, I wanted to coach again. And 60s is your best coaching years of your life. If you're healthy, it's the most qualified you'll ever be, and it's the worst time to get a job. You're just past that point where jobs are being considered. So you want to look, you want to get healthy and lose weight and look like you're in your 40s or 50s. So there was a reason for, I'm not coach anymore. But, you know, Paul, this is the first time I've ever gone into a coaching job where I'm not looking to move up. I'm not coaching to get somewhere else. I went into the HR office yesterday, and she says, well, you want our state retirement or you want the optional retirement? It will fall over. It will kick over to any other state. I said, no, ma'am, there is no other state. There is no other job. I'm going to try. I'm going to go to, I'm 70, and if we get that far, they fire them here like they do in Alabama or the old days of Alabama back when they did it every other week, other year, Tennessee or whatever. They did. If you don't win, they get rid of you here. But I would like to get this program, turn it around into a successful program, and for the first time in maybe 30 years, just turn it over to one of my assistants in five, six, 7 years, not to some new coach. But I don't have any other job lining up. This is where I hang my hat, and I'm excited about doing it.
Well, congratulations. It's amazing to catch back up with you. It's been a few years, but, Coach, all the best. We'll be pulling for you, and we hope to talk to you again very soon.
Paul, thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you again.
Wow. Terry Bowden joining us as the new coach at Louisiana Monroe. We will take a break. More to come. Nate Oates in the next hour. Speaking of successful coaches, we've already talked about the new AD at UT in Knoxville. We will come right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Back on the program, and let's get to the calls. Harold is up next. Hey, Harold.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, the other day when I called up, I was a little bit of – can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
The other day when I called up, I was a little bit upset, you know, about the way that Tennessee handled the situation with Jeremy Pruitt and everything, and I just didn't think they did a very good job of it. But the situation at Tennessee just didn't start, you know, in the last 3 years. It started the day that Doug Dickey retired at Tennessee. And they hadn't had a very good athletic director since then. And when Philip Fulmer took over, you know, his back was against the wall. I think they'd had 5 or 6 or 7 people turn the job down for the football coach. And he just made a bad choice, obviously. And I'm not blaming Jeremy Pruitt because they hired him. But it appears now that they've made a good hire with this guy, and I just hope that he's tough enough to handle it. And the other thing is, you know, all of us, even you and or me or anybody else, we're going to have adversity in our lifetime. And it's how we handle it and how we manage it is what makes us successful or unsuccessful at what we do. And I just hope this guy does a good job of it. Thanks for taking my call. Great interview with Candace Parker yesterday. And good luck, Paul. Take care.
Thank you, Harold. Yeah, and listen, I do think Danny White has an excellent reputation, but so did other ADs that they've had there. Dave Hart had a great reputation, and John Curry had a great reputation. Having a great reputation as an athletic director is how you get the job, but succeeding is how you are able to execute and accomplish what you want. And that's been the challenge at Tennessee. Philip Fulmer could have been successful, but he had a very thin group of candidates to choose from, and he probably made the wrong choice. Well, he did make the wrong choice. That's why he's no longer there. Chris is up next. You are on the air. Hey, Chris. Chris, you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. It was a very interesting interview with Coach Terry Bowden. It seems like he's come a long way.
Yeah, I was blown away by his attitude, knowing him when he was young and foolish.
Yeah, he's paid his dues to come out. He said he's 64 years old. I'm 64 years old, so maybe there's some hope for me. I had a question and a proposal. My question is, what are the big macro lessons you think that need to be learned from the COVID season that'll play into what kind of success we have going into 2021 as far as college football?
Yeah, it's funny. I talked to someone earlier today who played a role in all of this, and the one thing I heard from him was finding a solution and plowing through. And Judge, I know you will agree with this. And a lot of there were difficult moments during the season. I think too many people were willing to just give up. And I think there were more people that nearly gave up than we now know. But in the ACC,
right.
In the ACC and the SEC, the two commissioners did not give up. They tried to find solutions. They tried to find ways of getting to the starting line and then ultimately the finish line, and they were patient. Even the Big 12 at times was shaky in the lead up to the season. People weren't really sure which way they were going to go, and if they'd gone the other way, the season would not have started when it did. It would have ultimately gotten in, but the other two leagues panicked, and the result was very costly.
Right. I think I wrote down three things. I think, and I think that's very true. It seems like the SEC and the ACC got up every morning and said, "How can we
right.
play?"
Exactly.
Not how can we cancel. But I think making decisions in the room and not in the Zoom.
I like that.
These big decisions have got to be made in person. I think building in flexibility. There are going to be weeks that have challenges, so do you build in flexibility on the campus and in the schedule so you can move forward? The other thing I think is never underestimate the desire and the abilities of the players, the student-athlete, to
right.
deliver.
Yeah, I'm glad you said something interesting there. I agree with all that, Judge. The Zoom part of it is because I went through that, and I'm not going to bring my life onto the show, but I had to make a decision a couple of months ago about something important, and I was talking to various people from around the country, and most of them I knew one or two of them, but the majority of them I didn't know. So you're literally sitting there either by the phone or ultimately by Zoom making critical decisions in your life. As everyone else is doing, the Tennessee athletic director was hired by Zoom. And I will tell you, it's a terrible way to make an important decision.
It really is. You miss a lot of nuances. I've got a proposal. It's called the PFPC. That's the Paul Feinbaum Playoff Committee. And it should be made up of your callers. And I would nominate Cat Daddy, Jeff from Ohio, I-Man, Coach from Tennessee, and Heather Dennett should be the chairman of it. What do you think?
I like that.
Who would you put on there? The Paul Feinbaum, the PF?
Yeah, I think
the Paul Feinbaum Playoff Committee.
Cat Daddy definitely is the social chairman.
Yeah, he would deliver the refreshment.
Yeah, he works at a liquor store, so I think he can handle that. Hey, Judge, thank you. Always good to have you on. We're heading to a break. Nate Oates, the head basketball coach at Alabama, they are one of the hottest teams in the country. And we will take a break. More of your phone calls coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back, and it's always great to have you here on a Thursday afternoon. Nate Oates coming up here in a little while, the head coach at Alabama. And let's check in with Matt, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Matt, welcome. Great to have you on.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today, sir?
I am well. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm calling from Cleveland, Tennessee, which means I'm a Tennessee fan. That is a dumpster fire up there. I mean, I understand that they hired the new AD today, and I understand that, but is Kevin still the answer, or do they need to actually get a legitimate coach? I mean, I'm just tired of suffering. I mean, I'm just about done with the whole Tennessee thing, because I'm just about ready to wash my hands with college football altogether.
Well, I think, Matt, using common sense, it's difficult to believe that a new athletic director coming in now is going to stay the course with an interim head coach. It would seem likely that he would bring in somebody new to put his imprint on the program. That's just a guess, but we will hear from him soon.
Okay. Well, all right, Mr. Feinbaum. Have a good day then, sir.
Thank you. Glad to hear from you. Bruce is up next. Hey, Bruce, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Bruce, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. It almost went it got real quiet all of a sudden. I didn't know what had happened. Anyway, I hadn't talked to you in a while, Paul. And I want to tell Tennessee, congratulations. I say that's a good hire for athletic director. We're proud to have Mike White down in Florida, his brother, and I think he'll do a real good job at Tennessee. One thing I want to ask you, though, Paul, you've kind of got me scared. This just call thing with Dan Mullen, what's that about? What does that mean?
Well, it means that – it's a show cause, not a just cause.
Show cause, I'm sorry.
It means that he has been found to have tripped on some serious NCAA rules, and there will be limitations. It depends on what's in it. Sometimes it can preclude you from recruiting for a considerable period of time. It can cost you getting a job. In Dan Mullen's case, I don't think it will be that serious. And by the way, he may have already.
Well, I don't know. Nick Saban's going to retire here pretty quick, and I'm sure they're going to look at Dan Mullen.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That was a joke now.
Well, you never know nowadays. Hey,
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you really don't. We don't have the same sense of humor that we used to. Corey is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Paul, my question, I'm here with my buddy Tar Cholo, and we was wondering at LSU, what is the problem with them always having top five recruiting class, known for their defense? What's taking so long to hire a defensive coordinator, and are you hearing any rumors of who it might be, and I'll listen to you.
Well, what's taking so long is they made a complete fool out of themselves with the last hire, so I think they're recovering a little bit from an egregious mistake. And that was on Ed Orgeron. They offered the job to a coach who ended up going to Notre Dame. That was their first choice. And they nearly hired another coach who ended up staying where he was. So they're simply going down a list, and they've had some bad luck. Now, I don't know who they are targeting right now, but it has been a very ugly coaching search. We're up against a break. We've already had quite a program talking about the Pac-12 unloading its commissioner. We talked about the Tennessee hire of a new AD. And we had Terry Bowden on, new coach at ULM. And we'll come back with more of your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.